We want to also introduce Bill Tooker, as it is mentioned in our bulletin. Well, Bill, why don't you come? They already know about you, Bill, when you didn't show a couple of weeks ago. But no, Bill is a good friend. Glad his wife is here with him, and we've gotten to know Bill for quite a while now. He works with the youth over at Christ Community as well, and he is also Camp Gilead. He is a part of our camp ministry and our camp leadership team, and we appreciate his involvement there. And he's also here to talk about Vale Esperar.
I can't say that.
Which is it's worth waiting. You know why the whole abstinence program designed for middle schoolers and middle school age kids. And it is a program that goes into high schools, and it doesn't go in the front door dressed up as a Christian type of ministry. And so Bill's here. We're glad that he's here to talk to us about... Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. And to talk to us about that, and then... we want to also, just to put this bug in your ear, anyone here, adult, who would like to be a part of this, Bill will give you some information. It would be awesome if we had a representative from our church to help out with this. God bless you, Bill. Glad that you're here.
Well, thank you. He introduced me, so he took the first paragraph of my thing off. I'm Bill from Christ Community. Thanks. I want to thank Bob, Pastor Bob, for giving me the next 45 minutes to talk to you about this.
Listen,
church is going to be quick today.
I got my bags.
You got bouncers? Well, like you said, I'm here to talk about Vale Esperar. I can't say it the way he says it because I don't speak Spanish. That is Spanish for worth the wait. And in case you can't tell, it's an abstinence program. And... just a couple of facts that I want to share with you that I'm not sure that we're all aware of, because I was until I got involved with this. Waterbury has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the state of Connecticut. Now, that, I know this, we're in Woolkit, but it's our next door neighbor.
Right.
And if you don't think the kids from Woolkit are partaking in that, let me tell you, they are. So it's a problem. And over 2,000 teen girls nationwide every day get pregnant. About 53% of Hispanic girls will have a child before they're 20. 8 out of 10 fathers do not marry the mother of their child. That's just unbelievable to me. Daughters of teen mothers are 3 times more likely to become teen mothers themselves. And in 2011, Connecticut was ranked 49 out of 51 states. Now, I know there's only 50, but that includes the District of Columbia. When it comes to... teen pregnancy rates from the ages of 15 to 19. In 2011, Connecticut had 2,044 girls who gave birth before the age of 20. And that trend is just going to continue. As I said earlier, you're 30% more likely to have a baby when you are a teen mom, as a teen mom. So of the 2,044 girls in 2011, that's the most current data that we have, that gave birth before the age of 20, 24 of them were under the age of 15. 535 of them were between the ages of 15 and 17, and 1,485 were from 18 and 19-year-olds. Those statistics should scare every one of you in here, even if you're not a parent. And I know a lot of you are here, have very young children. So this program is kind of a good thing for those of you that may not... The program is from ages 11 to 15. Very strict on the age limit, 11 to 15. It's not 10 and a half and, 16 just turned. It's 11 to 15. And even though your children may not be that age yet, it's something that you can be involved in if you're willing to, as a volunteer or as a facilitator, so that when they become those ages, you may get them through the program. And the program has a huge success rate. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'll give you information. If anybody wants it, you can see me. And I can give you the website, give you my phone number, or anything that you need. Valspar is a community-based, federally funded program. That's why the rules are very strict. They're federally funded. And that's why they're not a Christian-based program. It's run by Christians. It's head up by Christians. Christian fundamentals, but they cannot call themselves a Christian-based program because they're federally funded. They cannot speak the Word of God at all because they're federally funded. They support the youth by training them to make smart, healthy, responsible decisions. The objectives of the program are to encourage, support, and guide teens to become men and women of character by equipping them with the knowledge and skills that will help them make decisions that will avoid risky sexual activity. Also to help decrease teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases disease rates by helping them to develop solid character traits and to focus on their future goals. You know, our kids face many more peer pressures than we ever did growing up. Besides all the peer pressure from teens, their age, they also have social media now, where bullying has become enormous to the point where kids are killing themselves. There's pressure to have sex. And this program doesn't just speak about sex to the teens. Sex isn't just sexual intercourse. There are many other aspects of a relationship that are sexual. And these kids don't get it. They think that just because they're not actually partaking in sex, they're not doing things that are risky to them, such as oral sex and other things. So this program touches base on all of those with them. And it's very... It has a lot of detailed plans in place to teach kids how to turn and make better decisions about it. So Valspar has three programs. One of them is FAT, P-H-A-T. It stands for Promoting Health Among Teens. That's the program that I am now trained to facilitate. And at Christ Community, we had a couple of other churches that came for the training. There's about 10 or 12 of us in Connecticut that are trained to give the program to the teens. They're constantly looking for volunteers and facilitators. Facilitators are paid to teach the program. They don't call it teach. It's called an intervention. They think the word teach will scare the kids away.
Yeah.
And they've done research on it, so it's fact. But they also have two other programs. One of them is called Val Conversar. I don't know, maybe you could... That means it's worth the talk. And then Val Conversar Plus, which is where they take parents who are interested in strengthening their relationship with their teens, and they train the parents on how to do that. I'm only involved with FAT. that's the program that I'm involved in. And so basically what I'm looking for is kids to join the program. It's a two-week program. It's on a Saturday, and it's 4 hours a week. We'll provide pizza and things of that nature for the kids. And like I said, it's between 11 and 15, and that's about all I have. I have website information. I have my phone number is available to anybody that's interested. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily only have to be your kids, their cousins, their friends,
that's right.
School kids, anybody that you know is between the age 11 and 15, really should be spoken to about possibly taking this class. And if you're interested, like I said, they're looking for help for facilitators and for volunteers, and there's a bunch of other things that they could use help with. So,
we really want I really want to encourage our participation. One of the cool things about this, you got to figure, and you say, well, it's not a Christian program. Well, but Christians are running it. And, you know, the federal government is funding it. Well, heaven help us if we don't step up to do that. Because if we don't, nothing will happen or someone else will. And so we have a tremendous opportunity. And we'll say is, if you're interested, whether you have children or not, to get some more information, to be able to step up, to help. And then also we can funnel... our kids will say, hey, yeah, I'd like to find out more. Let's really do it. And so please get information from Bill today, And I'm sure he'll be more than happy to give you phone numbers, contacts, and so on. Cool?
I'll give everyone my wife's phone number. Just kidding.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Glad that you were here. Good job. Come on. Very good. Right, let's turn in our Bibles to where? To 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter is in the New Testament after 2 Peter. They were twins. 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 5 comes after chapter 4. And, oh, God blesses you. Thank you. And we want to read our verse from verse 7, which comes after verse 6. Good. Everybody there in your Bibles or on your device? Wonderful. Here we go. He says, cast all your, what? All your cares. Or all your anxieties. Register a little bit more with that, don't we? We've been talking about this. As we are talking about our message entitled, What God Cares. Cast all your anxieties on Him because He what?
Cares
for me. He cares for you. And cast all your anxieties. What were some of the anxieties that we talked about? Finances. Remember? Kids. People. Jobs. Relationships. Spouses. Loss.
Health.
Hurt. Health. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. The subtitle is Tipping the Scales Towards a Worry-Free Life. And it's like, yeah, right. Sure. Worry-free life. So I hope I have your attention on that. Because that's where we're going. Want to tip those scales that we're able to come into a place in our lives where, yeah, you know what? The scales are tipped more in favor of my life being worry-free than it is filled with anxiety, and I'm laying there like a raccoon in the headlights awake at night. You know, you ever been there with anxiety, filling your heart? And so this is what we're talking about, God helping us, right? The Lord helping us. And we want to continue where we left off last week. And you remember that we said a lot of things about how it is that God cares for us. And we're coming down now to asking the question, when life hurts, you know the bumper sticker, right? Happens. That's all I'll say. And in life, it happens, doesn't it? And when life hurts, and if you haven't felt the hurt of life, you haven't been alive long enough. Most of us in this room, we know that life hurts. But when life hurts, okay, so we've talked about this, we've looked at this, and we're reading the scripture in front of us that says to throw it all on Him because He cares for me. Well, when life hurts, why does it feel like God doesn't care? You ever been there before? Why does it feel like that? Why does it feel like at times, like the disciples, when Jesus was traveling with them, they hopped into the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee, and on their way there, a storm comes up on the sea. The Sea of Galilee, notorious for horrific storms. Storm comes up, their boat is not only being rocked, but swamped. They begin to panic. Now some of them, at least four of them we know for sure, were guys used to the sea. They're fishermen. But yet all of them are in a panic. Where's Jesus? Anybody know where He is at this time? Where is He? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. And how often that you have felt, I have felt, where your boat is being rocked in life. And not only rocked, but an insult to injury, man, you feel like you're going down. One more wave comes in, can't bail, you're going under. And you look for Jesus, and it feels like, it seems like, he's nowhere to be found. In fact, he's sleeping. Feels like that, doesn't it? You almost have a sense of God's indifferent to my hurt right now. He doesn't really care. But the reality is, we've said this already, and it's worth repeating. We talked about it at length. We want to funnel it down to answer the question. But we have to say, by way of reminder, that he is committed. God is committed to my welfare. There's never a time when I am off his radar. I'm always on there. The little bleep is always there, and it's me. Help. 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 And he, I'm in his purview. I'm there. Help. Oh, I'm help. And I'm there. He is committed, and we have to hear that. That he is committed to my welfare. He's committed to your welfare. And he cares. So, to tip the scales towards a worry-free life, we said that we have to adopt the right image. And this is the right image that we have to adopt. He cares. He is the good shepherd. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is the good shepherd. God is good. And this is the image that we have to adopt. We have to get it in there. Fix it in there. See it from Scripture. Cast all your anxiety, all those anxieties that we listed in more. That we have to see, we can throw them on him. And he is well capable of taking them from me. He's well capable. He is a good shepherd. God is good. Adopt that image. And we have to take action. There's certain action that we have to take. See, God will never do it for me without me. He always does it for me with me. Always. What do we mean by that? From Philippians chapter 4, where the Scripture says, don't have any anxiety. That's the way it reads in the original language. It says, don't have not one bit of anxiousness in your life. Philippians chapter 4, around verse 5 or 6. That's verse 6. Imagine that. And he says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, tell it, cast it, throw it on him. That's what it says. Have not one care, not one anxious, stressful issue in your life, but in everything, give it to him. That's what it says. So that's the action that we have to take. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But that is the action that we must take. Cast all your cares on him. And then we have to be careful. Now, how do we tip the scales? Well, we have to be careful how it is that we are filled with anxiety. And this is taken from the parable of the sower. Remember, one of the crops that was trying to be produced from the seed, it says that it was choked and didn't come to life. And the reason why it was choked was that it was too preoccupied with the cares, with the anxieties of this life. And it's possible. That's all that fills our field of vision. That's all that we're concerned about, is doing what we got to do. And it ends up choking the life out of us when that kind of thing happens. Okay.
So let's get right down to it now. All right? Let's get right at it. Let's talk about the conflict that exists. And it is a conflict. It really is. The conflict is when it seems like God is sleeping, what do you do? What do you do? How do you handle that? How do we handle that? We're going to talk about that, okay? I want to give you four reasons. I want to give you four reasons of what we do when it seems like God is sleeping. Now, these aren't going to satisfy everybody. They don't satisfy me at times. And here's the thing about that, okay? It has to do with trust. Just to throw this in parenthetically. And the trust is this. If I could really ferret out this thing and give the reasons in such a way that it makes God manageable in my life to understand how it is that it seems like he doesn't care, he would be less than God. He'd be your little genie in a bottle. He'd be no bigger than an idol in our lives. And the thing about God is, can never domesticate him. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Not here, kitty, 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 kitty. And so you understand what I'm saying? That as much as we can give some reasons, there's still going to be those, boy, but I just still don't get it here. There's still going to be that fuzziness. There's still going to be, boy, this is still blurry. And then what it comes down to is, I trust him. Cast all your care on him. I trust this image. He is the good shepherd. He's committed to my welfare. Though it hurts, though it seems like God is, he's sleeping, yet he's good. Okay? So what are the four things? Let's kind of look at this and take our time with it. And I will say that there is somewhat they get worse as we go down the list. Okay? They do. They get worse. But we'll try here. Here's the first one, right? Why does it seem like God is sleeping? You know, what's going on here with this whole thing of, man, God, where are you? How do you care? Listen, here's the first one. You ready? Maybe you haven't given God a chance to care for you. Okay. Let's sing the song, right? What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on, now don't tell me you don't know this song. How's it go? What? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, right? Cast all your anxieties on him. What a privilege to carry everything to God. Where? My part? In prayer. See? And then it says, what peace we often forfeit. We just let it go. What needless pain we bear. We keep it at anxiety in ourselves. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Maybe the reason is we just haven't given God a chance to care. And it's like, you know, we're usually like this. Okay, it just took me 5 minutes to pray. Well, I can understand. God, you've got 15 minutes. Come through on this. And I know, you know, we laugh. And I listen, I live where you live. And whether I say that or not, this is what I'm expecting to have happen. Well, I just did this. I just did this. All my ducks in a row. And all, you know, and so now the next thing is, the next duck here is God showing up. And I come to realize I need a little duct tape because something is quacked when he doesn't show up. And the whole thing is here, well, boy, give him a chance. Does that make sense to you? Maybe we just need to give him some space to care and do our part in that problem. Now, in that situation, which is a problem, here's the next one. And I told you, they get worse. Here's the next one. The next one is, oh, God help us. God has a good reason for the delay. in helping you. Now, this is where I want to take that from. The story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. So here's the answer. Here's the next reason. He has good reason for the delay in showing his care. The operative word is delay. Okay? I'll tell you, I travel. When I travel, the worst thing for me when I travel is seeing up there on the board, delay. Like, don't you know I got a schedule to keep? Delay. And so here's Lazarus. One of Jesus' best friends. Good friends. He showed up at their house. He showed up at their house, Jesus did, to have sit down, table, have a meal with them. You know, it's always curious to me, people who call themselves friends but never been in each other's homes. I don't think you can be friends if you haven't been in each other's homes. And for certainly you can't be friends if you haven't ever shared a meal together. That's just me. But you see this here with Jesus. He and Lazarus were best friends. Okay? Along with Mary and Martha. Lazarus is sick. Mary and Martha, they know. We got an anxious situation going on here. So they take Philippians chapter 4 to heart and they call for Jesus. Cast it upon him. They call for Jesus. Lord, they said, come. Send a note to Jesus. Lord, you've got to come. The one whom you love, this is so wonderful story. One you love is sick. He's sick. Well, anybody know what it says there after that? Anybody know? Well, Jesus called for the fastest horse. He said, you know, saddle him up. My friend is sick. If I don't get there, it's all going to fall apart. Got to get there and got to get there in a hurry. Let me get there. That's it. It's in the original Greek. And so, it says there, the disciples are anxious because Jesus is stalling. I say, Lord. And it says that he delayed 3 days longer. He gets word, the guy dies. And Jesus says, let's go now. I mean, this is wonderful. You can't make this stuff up. Let's go now. You ever feel like that? It's like, don't bother. You know, don't just sucked in the last mouthful of water. I'm going, don't bother. He delayed. He died. And you know the story. When Jesus gets there, Lord, if you'd only been here. Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't. I wasn't here. Lord, you would have been healed. Wonderful. Jesus says, and this is the point in the delay. You got to hear it. You know the story. Are you with me in the story?
Yes.
Are you with me? Jesus gets there. He says, calm down, everybody. And he says, what? Standing in the graveyard. And he says, what? Lazarus! Come on out of there, boy! And boing. They're on to him. You know, roll the stone away. Lord, he stinks. He's been dead for a while. Lord, he stinks. Jesus said, roll the stone away. Lazarus! Can you imagine the power, that creative power of that word, the same power that existed when God called the stars into being? And when he breathed into my own nostrils the breath of life,
yes.
And I came alive. So he says to Lazarus, dead 3 days, stinky, pretty stinky, Lazarus, come out of there! And boom, and he comes up out of there.
Yes.
And there's the point of the delay. Here's the point of the delay. You ready? When he delays, it only means that he has a bigger miracle that he wants to perform in your life.
Yes.
And you realize at the moment. And you're feeling, God, where are you? If you'd only come, God, then you would, you know, I'm sick. I think I'm going under. And man, you go under. Say, God, where were you? He says, come up out of there. And you rise up from the dead. Wow. He delays often in our lives. often only because we're not ready at a particular moment for the big thing that he wants to do. There's a lot more that goes into this. A lot more. You know, they say when a swimmer is drowning, the best time to rescue that swimmer, now, all things being equal, I know the analogy fails. If you're not a professional rescuer, let's say. You have to be careful because the person that you're trying to rescue will what? Take you under with them. So you got to wait till they've struggled enough to where they're going to go down, pull them out, give them whatever they got to get, they're back to life. And sometimes that's the way it works in our lives with God. Why he delays. Why he delays. When you look at that story, and I'll just throw this in as an aside, not for free, it will cost you, and that's this. When Lazarus comes up out of the grave, God worked a bigger miracle, but God wasn't done with him in his life yet, with Lazarus. Because he says, it says there in the scripture, he's up, a miracle has happened, but Jesus says, hey, you guys, go and remove the grave clothes from his life. He's not free yet. There's a lesson in that for all of us. Someday we'll touch it. But just to throw it out there. You ready for the next one? You say, are they really going down? Watch how far down this one will take you. Okay? Why does God delay? Because it's the only way you're going to change. I'll explain what I mean by that. Watch. Mark Batterson, some of you remember Mark Batterson, right? From the book The Circle Maker. I like what he says. And this is the point that I want to make. It's the only way you're going to change. What do we mean by that? Most of our prayers, he says, revolve around God changing our circumstances, right? We get into issue. Oh, God, Lord, if you only, if you, God. And he says, but God doesn't always want to change our circumstances. There's a new thought. Really? Why? Because he wants those circumstances, here's the kicker, because he wants those circumstances to change you. Why did he bring them in the boat, knowing full well that he was going to fall asleep, a storm was going to come up, and they were going to cry like little girls. Hey, Jesus, help us, we're going under. He wakes up. What's going on? You guys, you little faith, what's going on with you? Jesus knew full well. He brought them out there. He put them purposely in harm's way through that circumstance. Why? That he might change their life. We have the president come on and say, you know, put no men in harm's way and this and that. God says, I'm going to put you in harm's way as much as I can. Because by those circumstances, I'm going to use them to change your life. Someone say hallelujah. I'm getting goosebumps with this message. This is incredible. This is incredible. I mean, we want what? Fix it and fix it now, God. Where's the escape hatch, God? In this. God, medicate me. Give me something quick. Okay, if I got to go through this, at least give me something to get me through it, God. He says, if I do that, you will not change. You will not change. God, is it really all that necessary, God? Yep. So much more we could say about that. Let's hit the bottom now. Let's do the last one. And let's get out of here. Let's do the last one. You ready for the last one? This isn't so bad. What can we say? This isn't so bad. Unless you're in the middle of this kind of thing. Here's the last one. You ready? Why does God, to seemingly sometimes, take his time till we question whether or not he cares? Here's the answer to that. He wants, simply because he wants you to handle it. Handle it from the point of view of go through it. Have a little backbone, for crying out loud. You understand what I'm saying? We all know the opposite of backbone, right? It's being what? Spineless. Who said Lazarus? Spineless. You know? It's being a jellyfish kind of Christian. You know? It is, you're out of the current, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, when the wave comes in, you're up. Woo, this is so good. And it takes you down under, and it's like, oh, brother, God, he's not here right now. You know? Spineless. And God delays. He's nowhere to be found. I could picture the disciples, and there came a point in their lives where they were like this. Through Jesus' training, the storm came up. Jesus saying, "Boy, God, have a little backbone here. I'm here. I may be sleeping, but I'm still on the ship. If you wake up, you understand? I mean, if you cry out, and he's not there, you're in trouble. You're going under. But he says, hey, God, I'm here. Right? I'm sleeping, but I'm here. For heaven's sake, have a little courage about yourself. For heaven's sake, straighten that back up. Have some. You're going through this. That's right. Going through it. I'm going to go through this. Oh, but I wish I did. I'm telling you, you know how many times... God, please, you know. God, I wish, you know, I wish I had Jeannie's powers and just bink me out of this. Is that what she used to do? Yeah. Did she bink?
Yeah, Jeannie did.
Jeannie, thank you. She binked. You know, or let's, or what's the other ones? You know, beam me up, Scotty. Right? You're in the middle of it, you know, and it's like, you know, or here's one for you. If anybody gets this one, I'll buy you a sandwich. Tutor the turtle.
Oh, Mr. Wizard.
I owe you a sandwich. Help, Mr. Wizard, help! And the wizard may wave his magic wand and get him out of trouble right there, right there. You know? And he's done with it. Due to the turtle. We watch the same cartoons, right? but really though, you see, I say these are, this is bad, this is the bottom. Because who likes to endure suffering? Who likes to endure when you're feeling like, man, God doesn't care? When you're in a situation that's painful. Who likes to? I mean, if you say, me, we're going to have a talk. Because you're out of it. No one does. But the point is that that God is looking to put some steel into our souls. That when we're dealing with the worst of it, the best of what he's got of strength rises up within me. And I'm able to not skirt around it, not go over it, but go what? What's the word? Takes backbone, doesn't it? It really does. You know, I mean, and not going through it has a lot of implications. We blame somebody else. When you blame somebody else, it's an excuse for you going through it. Oh, yeah. I'll stop there. And so there it is. Are you with me? There it is. I'm done. Except to recommend to you a book I read several years ago. Let me see when I read. Oh, I don't have the date in here. Early 2000s. True story. Some of you may have seen it on Discovery Channel or History Channel about Shackleton's adventures. Right? It's called Endurance. Right? An epic polar adventure. The end of true story. How guys were shipwrecked and stranded for months and months and months in the Antarctic and survived. And they had backbone. And I like what it says here. It says that this book here, it says,
This is by Worsley. He was the captain of the ship, or the Jacqueline was the expedition leader. He was captain, I guess. I don't know. But anyways, I like what he says here. He says, he is telling a tale of high courage, of invincible endurance, and irrepressible humor through hardship and danger. Right. That's what I want on my gravestone. Like those words. Let's stand together in his presence. And so, just to say a few things to us, I hope. Cast all your anxieties on him. Listen, he cares for you. Just ask Vic if this works. You know what I'm saying, Vic? Snow blowing his driveway, gets to the end, snow blower clunks out. He was hoping it was just a shear pin. But it was the bell. And he says, what, Vic?
God cares.
God cares. That's what he said. Did you say it out loud or just in your mind?
I said it a couple times out loud.
But you know what? What was he doing right there? I'm telling you, he was listening to, first of all, he listened to the message. And he was fixing in his imagination what we've been talking about. And when you're in the middle of it, instead of, oh, you know what? Not that I do. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know where this message comes from, my own life. From my own struggles, from the way in which, Lord, you have led me, taught me your ways. I'm grateful. So, Lord, I pass it on to your people this morning. That we together would be a people who know just how much our God cares for us. That nothing of our lives, nothing in our lives escapes your notice. And Lord, so help us to apply these things in the most difficult of all times when it seems like you don't care. I pray, Father, your help to us. And now bless your people this week in Christ's name. Amen.